Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Darm Daf Lamed Aleph. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Lana Lipner, Lana Bas Meir Yitzchak. Well, the Shalom's we learn for us and leave from our learning. And we're continuing a very interesting series of Mishnayos that discuss a person who makes a neder that could be thought of to include some people and not other people, as we'll see in each individual case, because of various factors. So let's jump right in. We start at the very top line, Lamed Aleph, Omed Aleph, with the brand new Mishnah. Hanoder Mishov Se Shabbos. If a person makes an edit, he won't get any Hanoah from anybody that is resting on Shabbos. Shov Se Shabbos. As the Mefarish says, May Oson Shemishamrin Shabbos. Those people that are Shom Shabbos. So who is he forbidden from? Who is he permitted to get Hanoah from? So the Mishnah tells us also be Yisrael and the also be Kusim. The person is not permitted to get any Hanoah from a Yid as well as the Kusim. Now who are the Kusim? We've mentioned this many times. The Kusim are people that came from the land called Kuta when Sancheiriv destroyed and conquered a country, so he would be mevalvel the olam. He would bring the people from one area to another area, and he would bring people from one area to a different area. So, in other words, he would make sure that they would have less of a nationality and less of a desire to rebel because they weren't in their own home country anyway. So, he did this to the people of Kuta, and he brought them to the Shomron, and they became known as the Kutim. And they originally were not Jews, but then lions came and attacked them, and they said, it must be that the god of this land is upset with us, and therefore they said, we will convert. So they converted. They were called Gerei Arayos, with an Aleph, not with an Ayin. And the question was this a valid conversion or not? In any event, the Kusim did not go and fulfill all the mitzvahs properly, but some mitzvahs they did properly. In Shabbos, things that were written in the Torah, they did properly. So therefore, if a person makes an edir that he will not go and get Hanoah from people that are Shomer Shabbos, so the Kutim, as we'll see, are Mechuyev, they were Jews according to this opinion, and they were in fact Shomer Shabbos, so therefore the Isser Hanoah from his Nether takes effect on both Yisraelim as well as Kusim. However, he would be allowed to get Hanoah from Goyim who have no Chiyev in being Shoveis B'Shabbos. The Mishnah continues and says, Me'och Le'Shum. What is this Me'och Le'Shum? So the Mefarish brings down that there was a custom that on Friday night people would eat Shum in order to be more capable of fulfilling their owner requirements with their wife and to have children, to be fertile. This was felt to be some sort of an agent, the shum, the garlic, that would allow them to better fulfill the mitzvah of owner. It would be, as the Mefarish says, marbe lohem hazera. It would increase their zera. As the pasuk says, asher piri yitain be'ito, el tamidei chachamim mishamshim mitoseyam me'erev Shabbos erev Shabbos. So this was the night of Ona for the tamidei chachamim. They were learning all week. They would come home and be with their wives, and they would have garlic. They would eat their shum to be marbe zera. So if a person says, I ask myself from those people that eat shum, so then that would include as well, also be Yisrael, and we also be Kusim. The Kusim also did this. That's the girsa that we have. Because even the Kusim follow this takana from the time of Ezra to go and have the shum on Friday night. In Hagos Tziyunim Osalat, he brings down there is a girsa that says umut b'kusim, that the kusim did not in fact eat shum. In any event, according to the girsa that we have, you would be usher in Yisraelim and kusim, possibly according to the other girsa, just Yisraelim, and certainly you'd be permitted to have anoah from Ovdei Kochavim. If a person, with the same, the Mishnah continues, I make an ed that I can't get any anoah, may ola Yerushalayim, those people that go up the ola regel, so then also be Yisrael. That's a mitzvah that's incumbent upon all the Yidden. However, umutar b'kusim, here the kusim, they unfortunately weren't real, full-fledged, observant people, even according to the opinion that they were true gerim, and they would stay in the Shomron and in other places in worship of Odazara, and they didn't go up to the Harabais, they didn't go up to the Beis HaMikdash on the Shlosh Regalim. Now, let's understand this a little bit more. The Gemara questions this. There seems to be some internal contradictions. The Gemara starts off and says, what does it mean when you say Shomer Shabbos? My Shov say Shabbos. If you're going to tell me, Ilei Mo, Mi Mekayme Shabbos, those people that are Shomer Shabbos and follow the rules. So the Ma'i Iriya B'Kusim, Afilo Ovdei Kochavim Nami. So why are you only telling me Kusim? There were some Ovdei Kochavim that would also rest on the Shabbos and didn't do Malacha on the Shabbos. In other words, as the Mefarish says, im shamrin Shabbos, if you find a guy that doesn't work on the Shabbos, yeah, yasaben. So then they should also be included in this. Obviously, that's not what it means. Ela, mi mitzuvim ala Shabbos. So the Mishnah is talking about those that were obligated to be Shomer Shabbos and not people that voluntarily took upon themselves to be Shomer Shabbos. The Gemara says, if that's your understanding, that it means those that are mitzuveh, so then ihachi im seifa. Why then in the very end of the Mishnah did you say that if you make an edit to be also to get Hanoah from Oli Yerushalayim, why were the Kusim Mutarim? It says, May Oli Yerushalayim also be sold Mutar B'Kusim, am I B'ho Mitzuvim Ninu? The Kusim were also obligated to go up to Yerushalayim. They didn't go, but they were Mitzuvah. If you're telling me the critical factor is whether you're Mitzuvah or not, so then there seems to be an internal contradiction. because we're saying that a guy that is Shoveis B'Shabbos is not going to be included in Neder because he's not Metzuva, but then a Kusi who's not Ola Regel should be included in the Neder because he is Metzuva. So what says you're right. Amar Abaye, you need both. You need Metzuva ve'osek tani. You need the two factors. You have to be Metzuva in it and you also have to do it. So B'tarte Bavi Kamaisa, in the first two cases, that of Shoveis Shabbos and Ochlei Shuv, according to the Gersa that we have, Yisrael v'kusim mitzuvim and Yisrael v'kusim v'osin. So both the Yisraelim as well as the Kusim were Shomer Shabbos, and according to the Gersa that we have, were Ochel Shum. So they both were mitzuvim v'osin. Oh, Ovdei Kochavim, even if the Ovdei Kochavim would observe Shabbos or eat garlic, how they have they osin v'in mitzuvim, but they aren't mitzuvim to be Shomer Shabbos and to eat the garlic, and therefore, even if they did it, they would only be Osim, but they wouldn't be Mitzuvim. And then in the third category, Bola Yushalayim that the Mishnah mentioned, so Yisrael Mitzuvim Yosim, certainly the Eden were Mitzuvah, and the Eden did go up to be Ola Ragel, but the Kusim, while they were Mitzuvim, they ain't an Osim, but they didn't go, and therefore that's why the Nether doesn't apply to them. The Nether only applies in each situation to those that were both Mitzuvah and the Osim. Next mission. You see the pattern of these is nice. We already had started from yesterday's shir. We'll continue all day in the shir today. Konim sheni neh nelivnei noach. Person says, I asked myself to get hanoah from bnei noach. So in this situation, mutar b'Yisrael, he's permitted to get hanoah from Yisrael. And the Gemara is going to ask, hey, wait a second. Aren't we also sons of Noach? Right? When Noach went into the teva, so that's it. There was nobody else in the world alive. So everybody's a bnei noach. Aren't we therefore bnei noach as well? So the Gemara will question this. But right now, the nether is mutar b'Yisrael will also be Ovdei Kochavim. And he would be forbidden, of course, in the Ovdei Kochavim that certainly are bnei noach. The Gemara asks the obvious question, b'Yisrael, mi nofik b'chla bnei noach. How come Yidden aren't called bnei noach? We all are bnei noach. Bottom line. So the Gemara says, no. Kivan the Ikdash Avram Iskru Al Shmei. Once Avram Avinu became the Avram Avinu that we know, so then we're all called Bnei Avram, and we no longer go by the name of Bnei Noach. And therefore, when a person makes a Stam Neder about Bnei Noach, he's not including the Bnei Avram. He's only including the Bnei Noach, and therefore only Goyim are included to be also in this situation, and not Yidden. Now the Ram points out in some places here that the Girsa should be She'ani Nene. She'ani Nene is not a proper Lashon of a Neder. So it should be She'ani Nene, that I should get Hanoah from the Bnei Noach. It should be according to me if I get Hanoah from the Bnei Noach. So these items should be also to me if I get Hanoah from the Bnei Noach, or that I should be also to Bnei Noach like they were a Korban. So that would be the more proper Girsa according to some. Others explain, no, the Girsa that we have, She'ani Nene, also fits in because you're making a Neder in the Lashon of a Shvuah. And you can see this discussion in Os Ches in the Hagos Vitzayunim. Go to the next mission. The next mission also has this Loshem She'eni, and that's where the Hagos Vitzayunim is found. She'eni Nenel Zer Avram. The person says in Eder that I shouldn't get any Hanor from the Zer Avram. So who does that include? So the Mishnah tells us, also Yisrael, you can't get any Hanor from Yidin. However, Mutabi Ovdei Kochavim. He can't get Hanor from Ovdei Kochavim. And the Gemara jumps in and says, but Avram did have Zerah, he had Yishmael, he had Esav, that aren't Yidin. So the Gemara says, Vayiko Yishmael, what are you going to do about Yishmael? He's also a descendant of Avram Avinu. So the Gemara says, no. The pasuk says, Ki v'Yitzchak yikorei l'cho Zorah. Except only by Yitzchak is it considered Zerah. The Yishmael and the other children of Keturah / Hagar, so they're not considered Zerah Avraham. They're biologically his children, but they're not considered halachically Zerah Avraham, and therefore they're not included in such an edder. That's not what people mean when they make such an edder. The Gemara says, well, you can Esav. What about Esav? No, Yitzchak was the Zerah, and he had Yaakov and Esav. But you can Esav, we're learning about in this week's parasha. So the Gemara says, be Yitzchak, v'lo v'ko Yitzchak. The pasuk says, ki v'Yitzchak yikorei l'cho Zorah. So that means not all of Yitzchak. The word be Yitzchak means some of Yitzchak. It's a miyot, meaning only Yaakov, each time, and not Esav, the Russia. Okay, go right to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, She'eni nena miYisrael. If a person says, I won't get any Hanoah from Yidden, so then, in this situation, Lokeach biYoser uMocher bePachos. So this guy still can do business with other Jews, but he has to do it in a way that they're not giving him benefit. He's not getting benefit from doing the deal with them. In other words, Lokeach biYoser, he has to buy it at a above average price. So if the normal price of this is $100, he has to pay $200 for it, lokeach biyoser, and this way he's not getting an offer there because he's paying an exorbitant price for it, or above average price. And likewise, if he sells to them, umochet b'chos, he has to sell it to them for less than the normal price. In other words, he's not getting benefit from the fact that they're buying it, he's selling it at a loss, so to say. And therefore, in that situation, he's not over the neder of getting, he's, that he said, she'eni neh net mi Yisrael. If he says it the other way around, he makes an eder, she's strong, then and lead, that they're not allowed to get hanoah from him, so then it's the exact opposite. Lokeach bupachos, he has to somehow find somebody that's willing to sell it to him for less than the market price, so therefore they're not getting hanoah from him. And umochar b'yosef, he has to find somebody that's willing to buy it from him at a higher than normal price. And this way, they're not getting hanoah from him. The ain shomen lo. And the girsa that we have in the Mishnah is that nobody's going to listen to this, obviously. Who's going to agree to sell him stuff at a below market price and take a loss on it, and to buy stuff from him at an above market price and take a loss from dealing with him? So therefore, Mestama, nobody's going to listen to him, but ain't shomelo. The Ran does bring down another girsa. You can see this in Dibra Maschel, Lokeach B'Pachos, about 5-6 lines into this Ran, and it says, V'is the girsa, there are those that have the girsa, and here we have two possible girsas. The girsa that's in the Ran is E shomelo. If they will go and listen to him, b'chirik. So E, if they listen to him, great. If they don't listen to him, then obviously he can't do this. Kolomar, im shomim lo, great. Avo belav hochi, les leitakanta. But if they don't want to do this, so then he has no choice over here. He can only deal with goyim. He won't be able to deal with yidin. And then the Ran adds, v'alafinu, v'afilu b'nechosim shukono li'achai nidro. This applies even with things that he purchased after his nether. Even though this is after his nether, so it wasn't yet in the world yet, that only applies, this rule, that you don't make a nether on something that hasn't come yet into the world. So that's only going to be on something that is specific, like Peres Dekel or Peres Sh'osid Liknos, that I will buy. Or inami, ba'omer nechasai alecha, shein osu ela ba'osu nechasim. Well, he says those specific nechasim, shaylo ba'osu shah. Or inami, b'chilufeim, or the exchange of them, mishum dekidulim damo. They're like the payros that we just referred to. So that's the girsa that we have in the Ran. If you look at those tests, now goes to Siyunim, he says, no, the word should be in, not ein shomen lo, the in. In other words, if they do listen to him, great. But if they don't, they don't. Okay. Then the Ran tells us a very additional important thing, that and Dibra Maschel Umocher B'Pachos, he says, "Kidei Shelo Yenem Mihen B'Mashu Mocher," because they're not allowed to get any benefit from him, or he says that they're not allowed to get any benefit from him, or he's not allowed to get any benefit from them. Now, V'Chi Aminon De B'Pachos Yes is Shari. That which we say that if you sell it for an exorbitant price, either high or low, Dafka Kisha Asa Atzmo Shelo Yenem Yisrael. That's only if you use the lashon over here of our Mishnah, She'eni Nenem Yisrael, or he says She'Yisrael Nenin Li. The Bechi Haigavna in such a way, lo mishani minayo. Then selling it at a higher than normal price or a lower than normal price, respectively, in each case, that would work. However, the Ran points out a very important fact that many of you might have been thinking about. I will yasar al asmo nechseyim. If he said, I asked myself to get hanoah from your properties, so then, afil lokach shove mone b'mosayim. Even if he buys it at an exorbitant price, then also lanos mimeko, he's not like getting an offer of it. Shenidro kfar chol al nesem, because he said, I'm asking myself to get an offer from your property. So therefore, even if he buys them at a ridiculously high price, he's still not like getting an offer from them. Okay, that's our Mishnah so far. Now the Mishnah concludes and says, Sheini nene lohen behin li. If he says both, I'm not like getting an offer from them, and they're not like getting an offer from me. So then the only option over here is yene lo dekhom, because here he can't buy it at a high price, because then they'll benefit from him. And he can't buy at a lower price, then they'll benefit from him. So you're stuck in this situation. The only opportunity then for him to do business is Yehna Lovli Kochav. He has to do his business dealings with an Ovi Kochav. Gemara starts off and says, Amr Shmuel. Shmuel tells us, based upon our Mishnah, Halokeach Kli Mina Uman Levakro, if you're thinking of buying a utensil from the artisan who makes it, and you're checking it out, Levakro, like Bikur Cholim, you check out the Cholet to see how they're doing and what they need. So you're checking out this item to go and purchase it. And Rashi, in the Likute Rashi over here, brings down from the Rashbam, this is in the Gemara in Bava Basra, where Rashi explains, in Dibra Maschel Chayev, v'hu dekitze domeh, they had already arranged a set price for this. And now he's just checking out to see, yeah, this is going to be $20, and let me see if I want to buy it after I examine it. But we already reached the price. In this situation, the somcha daiti liknosa acha sheposek doma, because basically he's agreeing that I'm going to buy it if I like it. But we're not haggling about the price anymore. But even if he changes his mind, says, no, I don't want to buy it. So I don't want to buy this kli. And then, the nenas biyado, still the rule would apply. And what's this rule? So Shmuel says, if you go and purchase something from the Uman, the price is already set, and you want to go and buy it, probably, v'nenas b'yado, and then you drop it, right? You buy this vase and you drop it. So then chayiv, you are chayiv for it. Why is that? So the Rush says very, very simply, you're like a shoal in this situation. All of the benefits are to you by now holding this object. And therefore, as the Gemara says, Alma Kasafar Hanos Lokechi, you're getting all the benefit. So therefore, you're like a shoal on this, and the shoal is chayiv even for onsin. Not only for Gneva Veda, certainly for Pshia, but even for onsin. So if you drop it, even though it was an accident, somebody jostled you and you dropped the vase, nevertheless, you're chayiv to pay. That's what Shmuel says. And now we're going to go question this. Our Mishnah doesn't seem to agree with this. So therefore, it's going to be a kasha on Shmuel. And we quote our Mishnah Tanan. It says in our Mishnah, She'eini nena miyisrael mochir b'chokos pachos. If the person says, I'm not going to benefit from another yid, so he's only allowed to sell it to the other yid for less than the market value. Because in this way, he's not benefiting from the other yid. He's selling it for less than it's worth. So the other yid is causing him, so to say, a loss by not buying it at the normal value, so he's not benefiting from the other yid. That implies, avol shava b'shava lo. There wouldn't be allowed to go and sell it at the normal price, but why not? According to Shmuel, v'hanos lokeachi, if the lokeach, the purchaser, is getting all the benefit, he's held responsible, he's the one that's considered like a shoal on it, because he's getting the benefit from looking at it, so then, afilu shavu b'shavu, then why shouldn't you be able to go sell it at a normal price? Okay, granted, you're not allowed to benefit if he can't pay you more than it's worth, but according to Shmuel, that the lokeach, the one who's purchasing it, so to say, gets all the benefit, so then why shouldn't this yid, who you're also to get an off from, be able to buy it from you at the normal price? Why do you have to sell it to him at a lower than normal price? Shmuel explains, no, you know why? Because Masnisin on Mishnah, which says that you can't sell it at the normal price, only at a sub-normal price, is talking about bizvina dirame al apay, with a item that is not very, very much easy to sell. It's not in demand. As the Rosh says, the Libra Maschel bizvina dirame al apay, mekach she'en lo kovtsim. There aren't a lot of people jumping to buy this. And all the hana that you're getting in this situation is to the seller. Baruch Hashem, I'm finally able to sell this. For me, however, the Rosh does qualify. This says, but he sells it at a low price, he's still not that happy. It's not that hard to sell. It's not something that's totally worthless at $20. No, listen, he'd like to sell it for $25, $30, but at $20, no, he's suffering a loss in selling it that. And therefore, while it's a little bit difficult to sell, it's still worth something, and he's suffering by selling it at lower than normal price. And therefore, that's not called he's getting hanoah from the other yid and is allowed. So that's how Shmuel would have to explain the reish of a Mishnah. But the Gemara says, wait a second, in Cain, Eim Reisha, keep on reading there, it says, Lokeach Bioser, when the guy asks himself to get hanoah from another yid, he is only allowed to buy it from him at a higher than normal price. Now, if you're telling me over here that the lokeach, he's the one that gets all the benefit, so then he should be able to go and buy it even at the normal price, because if you're dealing with masnisin bizvino dirome ala pay, it's a hard to sell item, so then the one who's selling it is actually benefiting more than he is, because it's a difficult to sell item. So the seller, who you've asked yourself to get a hanoah from, is in fact, he's the one getting that noah. You're not getting that noah, so you should be able to buy it. Not only be Yosef, but you should even be able to buy it. Shava b'shava. And furthermore, keep on reading the Mishnah. Olim HaSeifa, it says in the Seifa that when you say that he's not allowed to get that noah from you, she's thrown in and low, so then he has to buy it lokeach b'pachos. He has to buy it at a lower than normal price. And this way, the other person's not getting a noah from him because he's selling it at a loss. And when he goes and sells it, he has to sell it at a higher than normal price, so the other person who's purchasing it is paying more for it than it's worth, and therefore he's not getting a noah from him. But if what you're saying is true, bibizvina derome ala pay, if it's something that isn't so easy to sell, so then afilu shava b'shava, then he should be allowed to sell shava b'shava, because in this situation, he's getting tremendous benefit from finally selling this item that was difficult to sell, and the other person is not considered getting hanoah from him because he's buying something that's difficult to sell. So why shouldn't he be able to buy it at shava b'shava? Why do we have to say he has to buy it b'yoser? So one says, no, because the Seif is talking about something different. Seifa bizvina harifa. The Seif is talking about something that is easy to sell, as the Rosh says, the kol hanor lokeachi in this situation. However, umiyu kizovim biyoser lesser hanor. But while it's easy to sell, if the person can easily buy it, but he has to pay more for it than he wants to, so then that's not called getting hanor from the seller. So therefore, the Reish and the Seif are talking about two different things. One is talking about bizvina derami ala pay, and the Seif is talking about bizvina charifa. One is something that's easy to sell, and one is something that is hard to sell. And that's what the Gemara now tells us. Elo, and we turn to Lamed Aleph from Beis. The Mishnah is talking about Masnisa and Bezvino and Mitzah. The Mishnah is talking about something that is average easiness in selling. It's not very difficult to sell, and it's not very easy to sell. And therefore, in that situation, we don't allow the person, when he says, you can't get Hanoah from me, to buy it at anything other than an exorbitant price. And that's our Mishnah is talking about. Everything is not very hard to sell, not very easy to sell. So the Mishnah is talking about Zvina Mitzah. That's why you can never sell a Shavu B'Shavu. It always has to be, as the Mishnah had said, the Pachos will be Yoser. As Shmuel's statement that the Lokeach is getting all the Hanah, Ushmuel B'Zvina Charif, he's talking about something which is pretty easy to sell. People want it, and therefore the person who's buying it, he's in a position where he's indebted somehow to the person who's selling it, because it's something that a lot of people want. He'll have no problem selling it to somebody else, and therefore you are considered like a shoal, as the Rush said, and therefore you're going to be chayiv on it if you break it. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasi Shmuel. What Shmuel said, we have proof to it from the following brisa, that Shmuel is right, that when the lokeach takes it, he's going to be held liable for it like a shoal, and if anything happens to it, as long as it was a set price, and it's something that is bezvino charifa, so then Shmuel's din is correct, that the lokeach has all the hanoah, and therefore has all the responsibility. And the brisa says, lokeach kelim inat hagar, the person buys utensils from the artisan, from the professional, and he's doing this l'shagron leveis chomov. He wants to send savlonus. That's how Rashi says elsewhere, and Likute Rashi, l'shagron leveis chomov, he says savlonus l'arusaso. He's sending gifts to his future wife and to his father-in-law's house. Savlanus was a common thing that they would send to show and endear themselves to their future family. So in this situation, he purchases from the kalim from this tagar. So he goes into Bed Bath and Beyond, and he buys a whole bunch of houseware, and he sends them to his father-in-law, and he tells the Bed Bath and Beyond merchant. He says to him, Bomelo, he says to him, listen, im kablu no somi mani, if they like what I sent them, so then I'll pay you full price for it. And he no sen l'chodimehim, and fine. And you have a sale. But let's say they don't like it. For whatever reason, they say, no, thank you so much. We have enough. We don't need this. So they don't accept my present. Then I will return them to you, but I'll give you a payment of thanks for allowing me to send to them. As the Ran says in Dibra Maskel, so he says, that benefit that I got by sending them the gift, even though they returned it, oh, they think he's such a nice son-in-law, that I'm trying to go and send them things, so the benefit that I got for using your items from your store, albeit I didn't buy them, so they cost $100, but I'll give you $10 for allowing me to have sent it to them. If they want to accept it, then I'll pay the full $100. But if not, I'll only pay you $10. So the Brisa says in this situation, Nansu Bahalicha, if the, let's say he sent them a bunch of vases over there to the in-law's house. So if they break on the way, so then Chayev, then he has to pay, because he's considered in the advantage position. As Shmuel had said, the lokeach has all the advantages in this situation, so therefore you're like a shoal and you're responsible for any damages. But if it's on the way back, b'chazara, so then you're actually potter for onsi, because here you're now considered like a shomer socher, because, hey, I'm not using them. I'm paying you because you did me a favor, and I'll return them to you. I'll be careful that they're not stolen and that they don't get lost, g'deva v'veda, but I'm not chayav an onsin. B'chazara potter. Oh, b'bneishu k'nosi socher. Because he's like k'nosi socher at this point in time, and therefore, this is a brisa that seems to support what Shmuel had said. Gemara tells us one last story before we get to the next Mishnah. Hai Safsira. Safsira is a middleman. He is the guy that buys from A and sells to C. So, House of Syria, the one who was his middleman, the Shokal Kharma, he took a donkey, Lizabune, to go and sell below Isban, but he wasn't able to sell it. So, he had a deal with the owner of the donkey. I will try to sell your donkey for you, okay? If I'm able to sell it, so then, you know, you'll get the X and I'll get Y. We'll sell it for X plus Y, and you'll get some and I'll get some. No, if I'm able to sell it, fine. If I'm not, I'll return it to you, and fire tick, that's it. So, this is what he did. He took the donkey, tried to sell it. Now, when he's going to the marketplace, everybody would agree that he'd be chayiv like a shoal in this situation, because he has all the advantages. But Bahadi Dohadar, now on the way back to the marketplace, nobody wanted to buy the donkey in the marketplace, so he's returning it. So on the way back, Itnis Chamra, an accident happened, the donkey went off the road and died, and he now, the din is Chayve Rav Nachman L'Shalumi. Rav Nachman paskin this din, that the person who is the middleman has to pay for the full price of the donkey. More questions. Wait a second. It's on the way back. So Eser Rav or Rav Nachman, Rav Eser Rav Nachman. Wait a second, we just learned Nansu Bahalicha Chaya B'Chazor Potter. We just had the case of the son-in-law that sent the Savlanas to his father-in-law's house. And we said, go in there, yeah, he's like a Shoah, but coming back, he's like a Shoah Masachar, and he wouldn't be Chayiv in Otsin. So how come this Safsira over here, going there, we understand, going to the marketplace, he should be like a Shoah, but coming back, he should be like a Shoah Masachar. And if an accident occurred, and the donkey was killed in some way, and it was an accident, it wasn't a lack of him watching it properly, it wasn't Kineva Vaveda, it was Otsin, so then Rava says to Rav Nachman, why did you pot him? He's Chayiv, he should be Potter. Rinachu says very sharply, he says very, very smart. Chazorah de Safsira halachi. What? This guy, when he's returning it, if somebody happens to chance upon him and say, hey, that's a nice looking donkey, are you willing to sell it? Of course he would sell it. So the Safsira is still doing business on the way back. When the Savlonis are coming back, there's no sale. The sale is gone. But here, the Safsira, if he could sell the donkey 2 minutes away from the return, he would still sell it. And therefore, the return of the Safsira, bringing back the donkey, is no different than going there, because he would sell it if he could. Dilu mishkach lezabune, if he was able to find the buyer for it, afilu above the base, even right at the doorway into the house. Milo mazulay, wouldn't he go and sell it? Of course he would. So therefore, he's constantly considered in a position of being like the Shoel, because he's getting all the benefit from having this donkey, and therefore, he's chayiv on the way back. Rav Nachman, it was a beautiful explanation to Rava as to why this should be the case. Next nishma. Konem shani nen el arelim. The person says, I asked myself to get an offer from arelim. Arelim are people that don't have a circumcision. So he's mutter b'arel Yisrael. Surprisingly, as we'll see in the words, not surprisingly, but one might have thought, I said I wouldn't get hana from people that are uncircumcised. So even though this yid is uncircumcised, so that technically should have fulfilled his neder. No, mutter b'arel Yisrael. If a yid is uncircumcised, let's say Nebuch, the two older brothers died from a bris milah, so he's not allowed to get circumcised. So you have a kosher yid over here. So mutter b'arel Yisrael. He is allowed to get an offer from such an orel who's Yisrael. For aser b'mulei avdei kochavim. And even though the avdei kochavim have a bris milah, he's aser to get an offer from them. They're called arelim. The bottom line of this gemara is that arelim is not a physical descriptive term, it's a spiritual descriptive term. Jewish people are called mulim, and the goyim, even if they're circumcised, are called arelim. So yidin, even if they're uncircumcised, are called mulim, and goyim, even if they're circumcised, are called arelim. And that's what the Mishnah continues and says, Shani Nanem in the Mulim. If the person says, I won't get an offer from Mulim, so he's also even by Reili Yisrael, even a Yid that doesn't have a Bris Mila, he's also getting an offer from him. And in this situation, since even if the guy is mild, Umutu Bamule of the Kochom, he's allowed to get an offer from them. Again, the critical point that the Mishnah is making is, Arelim is a word for Goyim, and Mulim is a word for Yidden. It has nothing to do with the physical act of whether they're circumcised or not. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. She'ena arla kruya el l'shem ovdei kochavim. The word arelim is cognate with ovdei kochavim. And the word mulim is cognate with a yid. She'nema. And this is based upon the pasuk. It'll actually bring three psukim to show this. And the Rambam will explain why we need all three psukim. So the first pasuk is, he called hagoyim arelim. The chobez Yisrael arle lev. The pasuk tells us from Yirmiyo that all of the goyim are called arelim. And even though Beis Yisrael is also called Arle Lev, and this is important that it's talking here about the circumcision of the heart, not a physical circumcision. V'omer, then we bring another pasuk that says, V'hayah plish the Arel is that when Goyas is called a plishti, ha'arel is there by David HaMelech, so you see that he's called an Arel. Now, we don't know whether he was circumcised or not. In any event, V'omer, and we have a third pasuk that says, Pen tismachno benos plishtim, Pentalozna benos arelim, lest they all rejoice, let the plishtim daughters rejoice, let these daughters of these arelim rejoice. So you have three psukim over here, the first one from Yirmiyah, the second one with Goyas from Shmuel Aleph, and the second one about the plishtim from Shmuel Beis. And the Ran asks, why do we need all three? And if you go to the Ran, Diramasa of Omer, V'hoya plishti arel, so he says, Klomar, di'i mikro kam, if we only had the first pasuk, you know what I would have said? Ichle dechuya, I could push it aside, because I could say, dechi kamar, kol agoyim arelim, it's referring to arle lev kamar, as it says in the end of the pasuk, that the Yisrael, ma'inu the kamar, save the krah, the chol beis Yisrael, arle lev, kimosim, that we were also hard of heart, we weren't circumcised in our hearts. So therefore, Mishum Haki, you need the second pasuk. Amar, Domer, Vaya Plishti, Aurel, as that. When David calls Goliath, this Plishti. The Kokar Leila David, Aurel. David calls him an Aurel. Now, this, we don't know for certain that Goliath wasn't circumcised. Maybe he was born circumcised. Avogav the Lo Yoda, in Olat Kishumal. Maybe he was actually born circumcised. Okay, granted, he didn't have bris milah, but maybe he was born circumcised. I the chitema no like a shumal lo shlicha. You can tell me that's not dover shliach. Nevertheless, that's why we need the third pasuk. Yomer pentalozna v'nosa arelim v'efshol amu hagodol shlo yebahem kam anosh shodu kishem mulim. There certainly would have to be in a large population some people that are born circumcised. Therefore, you need all three pasukim to teach us under all circumstances are the guy referred to as arelim. Okay, then the Mishnah continues. Once we started talking a little bit about bris milah here, so now we're going to have a number of tanoim that extol how important a bris milah is. Beautiful, beautiful Mishnah. Mishnah says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Gedola milah, shenichusu aleh, shloshes rei brisos. How great is bris milah? When Avraham Avinu accepted the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the bris milah, 13 times it mentions bris in these psukim. As you can see in Tosos, say, in the Dibur Masu Nisrael of Yudim Brisos, say the Chashov, go and look at the psukim over there. May that Noah Brisi ben Yuvenecha is the start at Brisi Okim Es Yitzchok at the end. So Yesh Yud Gimel Brisos. It mentions Bris 13 times. Okay, look how great it is that Kosh Baruch Hu mentions a Bris with Klai Yisrael over Bris Milah 13 times. Then the Mishnah continues with Yosi Omer Gidol Milah. How great is the mitzvah of Milah Shedoches Hashabbos Hachamura that it even pushes aside Shabbos. Bris Milah comes out on the eighth day, so you are desecrating Shabbos, so to say, in order to do the Bris Milah. The Bris Milah trumps Hilchos Shabbos. Next statement, Rabbi Shuvan Karach Omer, Gedola Milah, look how great the mitzvah Milah is, Shelo Nitla Lola Moshe HaTzadik, Halel Milo Shah. The Moshe Rabbeinu almost lost his life because he delayed the Bris Milah for even an hour. As we'll see in the Gemara, we'll explain this, we'll see this in a moment in the Gemara, that when Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go and circumcise Eliezer, Shema Sheni Eliezer, his second son, Eliezer, so then he delayed doing it for an hour, so he almost lost his life. That'll be explained more in the Gemara, as I said. Then we have Rav Nechemya Omer, Gidol Milah, look how great the mitzvah Milah is, Shedoches HaNegoyim. If a person has a nega on his arla, so then normally there's a din, you're not allowed to cut off a nega. But if it's on the arla, and there's a mitzvah to cut off the arla, the Bris Milah, whether it's on the eighth day or even if it's not on the eighth day, it's Doche Es HaNegoyim. You can go and cut it off, even though you're normally not allowed to. So you see that the Mitzvah Milah is even greater than Negoyim. And then we have Rabbi Omer. Now that's the Girsa that we have, that it's Rabbi Omer. However, you look at that Gos, it's Yudim Oz Dal, he says this is Rav Meir. So either it's Rabbi or Rav Meir, Omer, Gedola Milah, how great is the Mitzvah Milah? Shekol HaMitzvah Shos Avraham Avinu Lo Nikra Sholim Hashemah, that even though Avraham Avinu was Mekayim the entire Torah Kula, says Ekev Asher Shomah Avraham, so the Gematria of Ekev is 172. Some say that when Avraham was 3 years old, he already recognized the Kodesh Baruch Hu for 172 years of life. Ekev, he served the Kodesh Baruch Hu and he did all the mitzvahs. Says he even did Erev Tavshilin, or some say Erev Tuchumim. In any event, Avram did all the mitzvahs. And nevertheless, Rabbi or Rebbe says that Shekol HaMitzvah Shas HaRavinu Lo Nikra Shalom, he wasn't called complete Ad Shemol. As the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Hisalech Lefonai Ve'yesimim. If you do this, then you will be Sholem. The Bris Milah allowed Avram Avinu to be Sholem on all the organs of his body. It says when the hay was added, so the Avram went from being Sholem on 243 to now 248. The Gematria of Avram is 248. Okay, so therefore he's now called Sholem after he did the Bris Milah. Dover Acher. Alternatively, the Mishnah says, Gedola Milah, how great is the mitzvah of Milah? Shomalihi lo bar HaKadosh Baruch Hu es olamo. If it wasn't for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, would not have created the world. Where we see this, Shinema, the Pasuk tells us from Yirmiyahu, Ko Amar Hashem, Hashem said, Im lo brisi yomon v'layla, Chuko Shemai v'aretz lo samti. If it wasn't for this bris, then I would not have gone and done this. Fine, I wouldn't have created the world. Now, seems like our Mishnah ends over here, but if you look in the Agos, it's a Yunim. Os Hey, he brings down from the Ein Yaakov, and he also says at the end of this Dibur Maschel, he also says that you look in the Ran and you look in Tosos over here, they also have the Girsa of the following, an additional statement. So in Os Hey, he says, in the Ein Yaakov, Od HaGirsa, Rebbe Omer, we have another statement for Rebbe, Gedola Milah, Shishkulo Kinege Kol HaMitzos. The Mitzvah Milah is weighted against all the other Mitzvahs. Shinema, we have a Pasuk, Hinei Dam HaBris, V'chulei, Asher Koras Hashem Imochem, Al Kol HaDurim O'Ela. And he says, this is the Girsa of the Ran and the Tosus over here. So this really ends the Mishnah now. Okay. Morris starts off and says, Tanya, what are you telling me about Moshe Rabbeinu? He said, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Omer, Gedola Mila, Shekol Zuchuyo, Shosa Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Omdulo, Kishinis Rashul Ben Amila. That all of the great things, Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Kom Yisok, Moshe Ot, all the great things Moshe Rabbeinu did would not have held him against not doing the Bris Milah. By not doing the Bris Milah, even a person as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest person who ever lived, almost is held accountable. Kinesh Rashi ben Amila, when he delayed doing the Bris Milah. And we see this, Shenema, the Pasuk says, Vayiv Kisheyu Hashem, Vayiv Akesh HaMisoh. Despite the fact that he was Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem was going to kill him. Amar Rebbe, that's the gizzard that we have. The Bach, however, has this as Rebbe Yossi in Oz Gimel in the Bach, and he says, either Rebbe or Rebbe Yossi said, Chas v'shalom, don't think for a second, Rachmana litzlan, Moshe Rabbeinu, Nisrash ben Amila. Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't delay doing the Bris Mila. What are you talking about? Elakach Amar, this is what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu had a quandary. He said, I have to go back to Mitzrayim to go free the Jewish people. Hashem said, go back to Mitzrayim and take them out. But I just had Eliezer, who was just born. Should I go and do a Bris Milah and Eliezer v'Eitze, and then I go on the road, Sakoni, it's very dangerous for the baby. It's a Sakoni, and I'll do Bris Milah if it's a Sakona, as we know from the famous episode of Shimon Levi and against Shechem, Shechem Abhiva Yom HaShlishi, B'Yosem Ko'avim V'Gomer. And this was a trip that would have involved being on the day three on the road, and it would have been very dangerous for Eliezer if he did the Bris now. So therefore, he said, I can't do the Bris now. Unless I wait, and then go to Mitzrayim. Amu v'Eshesho Shuyom, I can't. I go to Baruch Onayli, Leich Shuv Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. Hashem said, I gotta go. So I'm stuck over here. If I go and do the Bris Milah, I could hurt my son. If I don't go, I'm not following what Hashem said. Therefore, Rebbe or Rav Yossi says, don't think for a second that Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong. No, but he did something wrong. El Neiman Anish Moshe, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was held accountable. And we turn to Lamed Beis. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu held accountable? Because he delayed a small amount. Because once he reached near Mitzrayim, and he had the opportunity now to do the Bris Milah. So now, since he didn't do the Bris Milah immediately, he first took care of getting the hotel reservation, he went to the hotel first. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was held accountable for delaying a little bit. Shouldn't have done the hotel first, should have done the Bris Milah, and then gone. Now, the Ran says in the second line of the Ran, he still was on the road. So maybe that's why he first had to go to the hotel. He says, no, Yeshloma, the Oso Malon Samuch Mitzrayim. The hotel was right near Mitzrayim, and therefore Beurcha Purta, in that little bit of traveling from where he was to the hotel, Leka Sakanta, there wouldn't have been a Sakana for the little baby Eliezer, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was held accountable in some way for not doing the Bris Milah. Now that's the opinion that we have from Rebbe or Rav Yossi. Rav Shimon Galil disagrees. Shimon Galil Omer Lo LeMoshe Rabbeinu Bikesh Sotel Harog. The Sotel wasn't trying to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. El Oso Tinok, he was going to kill little baby Eliezer over here. Shenemar. Ki chasan domim atoli. He dashes the pasuk that says, you are a chasan domim li. Tzei re'ei, mi kori chasud. Who's being called the chasan over here? Havi omer zeh atinok. It's referring to the tinok over here. And therefore, it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu that the sotah was trying to kill, but it was the baby. Now, we'll have more of a discussion about this tomorrow, but this is a good break point. With this, we'll conclude today's shiur.